And now it's time for Ask Roz and Mocha.
A lot of great questions this week. Thank you to everyone for your submission. We go to the phones first. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. What is your question for the room?
Well, it's for everybody. Okay. If you could be hairless anywhere on your body, where would it be?
Oh, if you could be hairless anywhere on your body, where would it be?
What's your answer, Nicole?
Definitely armpits.
Oh, good one.
Why I hate shaving armpits.
Hate shaving armpits. Right, right. Sensitive. Your razor's not fully sharp, and it's the summertime, and you start sweating 15 minutes after a shave. It starts to burn, like all that stuff, right?
All of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And have you asked, Nicole, have you asked other friends of yours the same question? If so, what have their answers been?
I asked my boyfriend. He couldn't really give me an answer because he's like, I wish I could have more hair for my beard.
Oh, more hair. Okay.
Yeah. So he'll take your pit hair and put it on his face, right?
Exactly. 100%. The thicker, the better, you know?
Right. That's okay. Damn it, Maury. What's your thoughts on this?
Balls.
Balls. Wow.
Because the couple times I've tried to, like, take the hair off my balls,
yeah.
I cut myself every time. So I've stopped
doing it. What are you using?
What are you doing wrong down
there,
man?
Well, for a while, I was using scissors.
No!
I was using the kitchen scissors.
Scissors, the kitchen scissors.
Because when I tried using the razor, it just got so itchy.
Okay, hold on. So you use the kitchen scissors, and then what do you do with the scissors after?
Oh, I wipe them and put them back.
You wipe them?
Same thing he does with his balls.
Good one. Yo, you wipe them? You don't even, like, disinfect them with, like, alcohol or anything?
No.
Oh, that's so gross.
Okay.
And then the same kitchen scissors is used for
on chives.
Oh.
I cut chives with them.
Okay. Okay.
You're
so nothing
dude.
Else then. Just your balls, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Because my ass is already amazingly hairless.
Okay.
You've seen it.
But what about your back?
I would absolutely. I'd love to take the hair off my shoulders, but my mind went immediately to balls.
Right. Okay. So Maury's saying that's
that's
Jesus.
So gross.
Shem,
I still can't believe. Does your husband know that the kitchen shears are also used in the bathroom on your balls?
No.
No. Oh. No.
He's very busy.
Okay.
Right. No. No. No.
Okay. Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
No, we don't need to do that.
Oh
no.
No, it's all good. I'll tell him myself.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Are you going to record it?
Fine.
Okay.
Okay. I'll call him right now.
Yeah, I'll call him right now.
No, I got you.
Okay, okay. Shem, what are you saying in this?
Oh, man. God, how do I top that?
You can say balls, too.
Nope. Similar, though. You know that spot in between, I don't know what it's called, in between the male genitalia and the butt crack?
The taint.
Sure. Yeah.
Or we used to call that also the gooch.
The gooch, yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. That's the area that I would want to, because that gets really awkward when you're trying to manscape.
Really?
Huh? Yeah, your leg
very
up.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I would say, like, the back of the neck, like shoulders, across your back as you get older, you know, like it kind of creeps up out of your shirt.
Yeah.
I would say around there.
Yeah.
Maybe your shoulders as well.
Yeah. See, my first instinct always goes to arms, because I think arm hair, especially when it creeps down on your hands, I just think it looks dirty.
I thought you were going to say nipples, because you have really long nipples.
I'm just going to, like, I'm going to leave my chest hair and just, like, do big circles around my nipples.
That would look super weird.
Like, I'm just going to, that's like, oh my God, can I tell you this story? I had a buddy of mine, right? Okay. So we were talking, like, about, you know, just trimming down and all of this stuff.
Sure.
Right? I used to be very much into that. I was always like, it was always the same length all the way down. Like, everything was just sort of perfect, right? And he was a hairy guy, but he was a hairy guy young, okay? Mm-hmm. And like a very thick, hairy chest, very thick, hairy legs, very thick, everything in between, right?
Sure.
And we were talking one day, and I'm just like, why don't you just, like, trim it down, man? And he's like, is that what you do? And then we actually went to Shoppers, and I showed him the razor that I buy and which attachment I use on it and everything else. And I was like, man, I was just like, listen, just use this, put it on a thing. If you don't take it all the way off, it won't come back in itchy, like, you'll be just good, right? And then so he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did was he didn't do his thick, hairy chest, and he didn't do his thick, hairy stomach, and he didn't do his thick, hairy legs. He just took it right down to the skin, his pubes.
That is so weird.
Okay.
nah, man, you got to do everything. No. So it's got to match.
It was super weird. He goes, I don't think it looks right. I may think I made a mistake. And I'm like, well, what did you do? And he told me everything he did. And I'm like, that's what you do. It's on that process, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, everything should be even. He's like, but he goes, what do you mean everything? And I'm like, well, like your chest and like down there and everything else. And he's like, oh, I didn't do my chest or my stomach or my legs. And I'm like, so what did you do? And he's like, I was just in my pubes. And I'm like, so you just shaved like a circle?
So it's like a donut hole? Like
yeah. Right?
That's so weird.
Super weird. Yeah. I'm not that.
Is this the same time when you would shave a V into your chest hair?
No, that's new. I still do that. Because I used to trim down my chest hair completely, but yeah. Now I'm so lazy that I only trim down what's going to be seen if I wear like an open shirt or a V-neck of a shirt, sure. Which is I just trim a V into my chest, right?
I'm with you.
As much as I hate arm hair, I don't forget about arm hair. Like I'll still see it and trim it. Same thing. I got no problem trimming my undercarriage and all of that other stuff, Maury. Yeah. There's ways to do it where you don't use the kitchen scissors. But I'm with you. I would get rid of the hair on the sort of unruly hair that I don't particularly like on the places where I don't notice it because I don't see it.
Yeah.
And therefore it tends to get out of hand, which is, I'm going to say, like that whole back shoulder region.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything down to the top of my ass, up to my shoulders, like my back, I will say. That's my answer.
I'm gonna toss in ears as well.
Ears? I'm not there yet in life, Moore.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, you've been there like forever.
I know. Every time I shave my face, I then use the trimmer into my ear.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Nicole.
No problem.
Do you regret asking that question, Nicole, now? Or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Okay.
You feel like you know us a little bit more?
Better?
Yeah?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. Right. Patty says here, what season would you give up, spring or fall?
Spring.
Absolutely spring.
I love fall.
So you're giving up spring?
Yeah.
Shem?
Yeah, spring's too unbreakable.
No.
My birthday's in spring, and that feels weird to say, but yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I'm giving up spring all day.
Nothing more romantic than the colors changing on the leaves and them falling down.
Nothing. Nothing more romantic than leaves. Nothing.
dirty-ass brown leaves crunching.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing more
romantic. And when they get soaking wet, oh, they look disgusting.
Yeah, nothing at all in the world more romantic than that.
Jennifer says here, I too got my license late in life, according to my friends and family. Mm. So what convinced Roz to finally get his license?
Oh, God.
Because if you listen to the show long enough, you know that up until, was it 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you finally got your license 6 years ago?
Yeah.
That you got your license?
Yeah.
Your G1, and it was only recently
that
in the past year that you got your full license, right?
Yeah. I was just...
What's the rule again? If you have a G1, you have to have... Like an adult in the car with you?
No, that's... Yeah. So you're not an adult, dingbat.
Like a licensed driver.
It's even worse. It could have been a licensed 16-year-old. maybe
yeah,
not.
Like a fully licensed driver, right?
Yeah. I think that the way it goes is that you get your G1, your G2, then your G. But with your G1, that's the written portion, right? And then so you can't drive on any major highways.
And you can't drive at night.
You can't. If the streetlights are on, you got to be home.
Oh, damn.
Right? Yeah. You can't have anybody sort of, I don't think you can have any passengers or maybe something like that.
Or nobody in the front seat?
No, you have to have somebody in the front seat.
And they have
to be a licensed driver. All this other stuff, this nonsense. And then you have to cruise on that one for a little while. And then you have to go and do a driver's test where you have to do all the stuff on the road and the parallel parking. And then you get your G2. And then you got 5 years to get your full G. And I let mine expire because that's just the way it was. But I've had mine because before it was called a G1, years ago, when you used to get your license, it used to be called a 365 because it was a learner's permit that lasted a full year. So it was 365 days. So it just used to be called a 365. Mm-hmm. And I have had four 365s in my life.
Oh, damn.
But I just...
Well, they just expired?
I never went to get my license after that.
So when you had to go and apply to get another 365, did you have to do like another test or anything in order to get the permit?
No, the 365 was just written. It was only ever just written. And then when I was a little bit older, I was in my 30s, I was like, I'm going to go do this again. And then I went and took Young Drivers, but I took Young Drivers as an adult, I'm very much an adult.
Old Drivers.
Yeah. And then I had to go and sit. I had to do the classroom portion. Oh, so man. I had to go sit on Saturday and Sunday in the classroom with all these 15-year-olds.
Do they know who you are?
No. This is years ago. But I looked like I was there because I was court ordered, right?
Yeah.
I looked like I was there because I had to do some sort of rehabilitation. Uh-huh. And this was step one of getting my license back, right? It was a long time. Those classes are like 5 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah, they're long. And then so after that.
Did you make any friends?
No. And then I did all that. And then I did all that and still never went to get my license.
You didn't keep in touch with any of them on Facebook?
No. Stop it.
You didn't hang out after class?
No, I think that this was even before, maybe a little bit before Facebook as well. No, I didn't hang out after. Nobody wanted to hang out with me. Maureen, I was old.
Right? Not MySpace?
Yeah. It was MySpace time, right? Like I was old. And then I never got my license after that.
Yeah.
And then eventually, when I realized that I needed to go to Home Depot and move stuff around and all that, I got my license.
Until you got your full G, did you have to ask Catherine to come with you?
No, that was only when you have with your G2, you can drive alone.
No, but when you had your G, if you wanted to go Home Depot, you had to drag Catherine with you.
Well, yeah, because I didn't even have a car then. But then if Catherine had to come, she would just drive anyway. Right?
Don't worry about it.
I never got any time. So then I had to do in-car lessons with a Young Drivers instructor when I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then he was showing me all this stuff. Oh my God, it was so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. Yeah, it's just so embarrassing, right? So I had to go through the whole process. And then finally now I'm a full licensed driver, which is great.
I remember when I... learning to drive.
Yeah.
My dad was my driving instructor.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because as a part-time job, my dad was a driving instructor.
Oh, he was an actual driving instructor.
Yes.
Oh, that's
the worst. One of his three jobs.
So he had the extended, what do you call it? With the brake and the pedal, on the.
Really?
Yeah. On the passenger side.
No.
Bro, we did family road trips to Florida. So I would. Take a couple of hours driving.
Yeah.
And it was the worst because every little thing I did, my dad was always making a comment.
He's failing you the whole way.
The entire time.
Some people in your family you have great relationships with, but you don't work well together in those situations where if somebody needs to instruct somebody on how to do something, there's just a level of frustration that hits immediately, right? I remember my dad taught my mom how to drive, and the first day they went out, they jumped in the car, he jumped in the passenger seat, she jumped in the driver's seat, she backed out of the driveway, everything was great, they started off down the road, and then 10 minutes later, my mom comes walking home.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Because they got in a wicked fight 5 minutes into it.
Yeah.
Right? There's just no way. So then one of my dad's friends taught my mom how to drive.
Sure.
Right? Because they just, my parents, they couldn't, they didn't have that thing, right? Where they could,
there
was no instruction. It was don't, right? Which you can't talk to somebody
of course.
And so you had to go to a third party to be you're going to be better at this than I am.
Because the dynamic, the conversation's way different,
Catherine,
right?
And I are very much like that too when it comes to sort of creative things.
Really?
Where it is immediate, it's immediately, if I, our tension level is at 11 whenever we have to do something creative together. It's so immediately, it goes from, oh my God, this is going to be so much fun to
really?
all the way up. And then, one of us is apologizing for saying something within 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's usually first?
I'm usually the one expecting an apology because
of course I knew it.
Yes. And it's usually after because she will say something and then I always go, that's actually not what I said. Right? It's always that kind of argument.
Yeah.
Right? It's always that.
Aiden says, what is everyone's favorite board game?
Oh, hands down, Monopoly.
I was going to say the same thing.
Gross.
Yeah. Love Monopoly.
I love it.
Loathe Monopoly.
Really?
I cannot.
Is it because it takes too long?
I've never liked Monopoly.
Or you people just don't know how to play.
No, you know what it is? Is that I've never really loved anyone whose favorite game was Monopoly.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Oh. Whatever. You got two right there.
Damn. No. I don't know. I never really I could take or leave Monopoly, but the problem was anytime anybody wanted to ever play Monopoly, they were like super Monopoly fans, right?
Gotcha.
And so I just don't enjoy that game. Like, I don't enjoy playing when I'm sort of super casual about the whole thing. When you're playing against somebody who takes it like that seriously. I like chess.
I love chess.
I love, as far as board games go, what are some great board? Oh, Clue. I would say as far as like a classic board game goes,
yeah,
Clue's my favorite board game.
I don't have a favorite. We never played board games growing up.
Snakes and Ladders. You would have played Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah, okay, Snakes and Ladders. But like now that Cruz is 5 and we're accumulating a couple of like kiddie board games, right?
Yeah.
We're going to start playing some of those. So I'm sure at some point I will have a favorite, but right now I don't.
Candyland. I used to play Candyland.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt Candyland. Clue is my second favorite game. My first favorite board game of all time is Pop-O-Matic Trouble.
Pop-O-Matic. Oh, yeah, I remember that game.
With the bubble in the middle and the dice and the pieces, because it's vicious.
Okay.
Like, Trouble is so vicious. It's such a vicious game.
What's the one where you have the hippos and they eat?
Hungry, Hungry Hippos?
Yeah, is that a board game?
No, I wouldn't say that's a board game.
It's not a board game, but
that's an activity.
We do have that.
I love Sorry. Sorry's a great game.
Yeah.
Sorry is basically, it's Pop-O-Matic Trouble just with cards.
Yeah.
Right. And Sorry's such. Do you have Sorry at all?
No.
Oh my God. We started playing Sorry with Rox when she was about 7, I would say.
Okay.
And it's another one of those games where it is like Trouble, where it's ruthless.
Yeah.
Like, cause you can crush people. And I love it that the games aren't long. So when you sit down to play Sorry, you can play like 5.
Oh, okay.
Like
good.
5 games.
See, and that's the thing with me. When I sit down to play a board game, I want it wrapped up quick.
Yeah, Sorry, you can wrap up pretty quick.
Okay,
same thing with Trouble. That's why I like chess. You know, chess, whatever. I'm not that good, so it never lasts long. But those are my games. But like, stop it.
Wow.
Okay. We talk about shaving more nuts again.
Okay, Kara says, okay, you can only pick 2 for life and the rest are gone. Okay?
Yeah.
Sex, weed, alcohol, traveling, music, TVs or movies. Which do you pick?
Hold on, I'll write that down again.
Like TVs and movies.
Weed.
This seems like an unfair ask because
sex, weed.
Okay, hold on here. Sex.
Weed.
Weed.
Alcohol.
Booze.
Traveling.
Traveling.
Music.
Music.
TV/movies.
I pick sex and TV and movies.
Please.
Movies. Maury, like, your life, like, you've already made the choice on a lot of these in life. And sex is one of the things that you've given up.
Yeah. Yours really, Maury, you only have one answer, and that's TV, movies.
And travel.
Travel, right. Okay, so I'm going to weed, I don't care. Makes no difference to me. Traveling, who cares? I'm fine if I never go away ever again.
Damn.
I could actually get rid of music out of my life pretty easily.
Really?
Yep. So now I'm down to sex, booze, and movies. This is where it starts to get difficult for me.
But what about, like, you said get rid of music, right?
Yeah.
But then what about this show? Because we play, would it be then that we do the show, but then we don't have the ability to hear the music?
Sure. Let's just say my ears could no longer hear music.
Okay.
Right? That's just the way
it
works.
You're getting there anyway in life.
Good one.
So now it's sex, booze, and movies.
Uh-huh. You're picking booze and movies.
I'm going to...
I can't give up sex.
No. Facts.
Hey, can I ask a question about sex?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Well, you see, when a man...
Yeah.
I can't say when a man loves a woman, because now it's when people love each other.
Does that count on your own?
Yes.
Just asking for the rules. Yeah. Don't laugh at me, Shem.
Does that count? Are we saying that that counts?
Of course it counts.
Yeah, I think it counts.
Is that
it's
sex?
The
gratification. No, I don't know. It's the gratification, absolutely.
No, it's not. It's sex is the question. They didn't say pleasure
you
or
know.
Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Right? So So I'm going to say that I'm with Maury on this. I'm going to say that doing the laundry by hand very much counts. Mm. Like you're still very, that's still very much
in
play.
Look at a smile on Maury's face. He's like, yeah. I'm already there.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to say sex and TV movies.
That's what you're going to keep?
That's what I'm keeping, yeah.
Shem?
Sex and music for me.
Sex and music.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I sing, right? I mean, you know. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Come on now.
True.
Gotta have music in my life.
You like TV?
I do, but I also like sex better.
But what do you get more of?
Well, come on, man. Get my whole business out there like that.
I know, man.
Come on, man.
We're one day out of church, Maury. Okay? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, he's still listening. At least let the man get to Wednesday. Right?
All right, Roz, your turn.
Yeah, sex, booze, and movies.
You can't give up booze.
Yeah, I mean, I could if I had to. Like, if I'm choosing movies or...
You're going to say sex, TV, movies because you watch a lot of TV.
I do.
You guys all watch, like, movies.
Yeah, but you've had enough sex.
I do. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that, Maury. Yeah, you have to say sex in movies. Like, you just... I think you have to, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Shut up,
I think
man.
You have to say sex in movies.
Hello, Grace. How are you?
Hi there. Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question for the room? Welcome to the podcast, by the way.
Thank you. Just wanted to ask the four of you. So if you were asked to play an Amazing Race or any similar game, out of the four of you, who would you pick and why?
Who would I pick as my partner in the Amazing Race?
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm picking Roz. Absolutely. No offense, guys.
I'm picking Maury.
No, what? You are not.
Can
why?
I tell? Can I tell you why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Up until 2 weeks ago,
I'm just let me just to
up until
that in.
Up until 2 weeks ago, I would have said you, Mocha.
Uh huh.
Because up until 2 weeks ago, I'd never watched The Amazing Race.
Okay.
Roxy's now been watching The Amazing Race. We're two seasons into The Amazing Race.
Uh huh.
What you need as a partner in The Amazing Race, where you realize that people get advantage over other people, is when you are able to pull things off, like manipulating somebody at an airline ticket counter to bump somebody else and put you on the flight.
Oh.
Okay, where you get the advantage in the Amazing Race is when you can be a little bit schemey, but still manage to get people to like you enough to trust you.
Yeah.
Where you get the advantage in the Amazing Race isn't necessary. The physical challenges, yes, they are there. But we watched one episode where it was a super physical challenge right before the final leg of the race. And all these strong couples crushed this physical challenge. Mm-hmm. The couple that wasn't as strong, they were last in the physical challenge. And so they were last to the airport to book their tickets to Dallas. The strong couples all got their tickets to Dallas, buggered off back to the hotel. That couple that was super late in the physical challenge got to the airport to try and book tickets, and the person at the airport was like, that flight that everybody else is on is now delayed 3 hours. They didn't know, so they're like, we can get you on an earlier flight. So yes, being physical, okay, is a huge part of the game, but also you need a partner who's going to sit at a table and eat 2 pounds of caviar. Because that was also one of the challenges, which I know if I asked Maury to do, he would do for me.
And I was going to pick you.
Right? Yes. So that's why. Had I not seen Amazing Race, of course I would have said, Mocha, it would be a whole lot of fun traveling the world with you. But if I want to win Amazing Race,
you need a liar.
We should all say Maury.
I think there's only name.
I think there's only one answer in this. Yeah. Shem, what do you say?
Maury, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'll do anything. Yeah.
Wow, look at that, Maury.
Go team liar.
You're everybody's favorite right now with this question.
Yes, and because what winds up happening is tensions run so high on Amazing Race that people start fighting and bickering, right? I don't think Maury would start those kinds of fights with any of us. If it was Maury and Matthew, they would kill each other in Panama.
Well, that's because of Matthew.
Right. Oh, okay, exactly. But they would, they would kill each other, right? But if I think anybody in this room, I think that if you actually wanted to win the Amazing Race, I think that you have to say that your partner would be Maury.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have
love
a
you guys.
Wonderful day, Grace. We love you too. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Elisa says here, did any of you, when you were little, wrestle with your siblings?
Oh, my God.
And be your favorite wrestler? I can't even count the number of times my brother put me in a sleeper hold.
I never had the chance.
Why, more?
I never had siblings.
Oh, right.
But what about now?
Well, yeah, you have, like, now, old. But, like, but it's Daniel not like and Kyle are not going to wrestle what, me. What I almost had a heart attack on Saturday eating my dad's food.
What 16-year-old wants to wrestle their 40-something-year-old brother?
Exactly. Right? It's very weird.
That's
but
weird.
Still, like, when they were younger,
or he feels
right?
like a dad. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it doesn't feel
true.
Like another.
No, I've
yeah.
always been older. It's just too weird.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
That's never
going
to change, Mark.
I actually... yeah. No, my brother was never into wrestling, like the show. Like, I was a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
He was never into wrestling. But we used to, like, you know, wrestle around and stuff like that. But he and I would never do the I'll be Hogan, you be Savage kind of thing, right? I did that with other friends.
Didn't you okay. fart in your brother's mouth?
No. That's a whole different person. But, yeah.
What about you, Shem?
Shem.
Oh, man. We used to have, like, ladder matches.
Ladder matches?
So I'm gonna explain. So
what the hell's that?
Yeah, so what would happen is we live in a condo growing up, and by, like, where the garbage chute and all that stuff, we have, like, the cardboard boxes and then ladders and all sorts of different things there. So we would climb up on top, and I would, like, you know, like, power bomb her through, like, a bunch of cardboard and all that stuff. Oh my God, I used to do
so
that
dangerous.
All the time.
Jesus.
Yeah. And yeah, I didn't care. It
you should
fun.
Do this with your brothers, Maury.
No, I want to do this with Shem.
Oh.
Ladder match.
Mocha, did you and your sisters
oh
ever wrestle?
Oh my God. I mean, I was always the one instigating.
Right.
And it was same thing, like, sleeper hold, headlock, figure four, suplex. Bro, there was one time, and I will never get this image out of my head.
Yeah.
But my sister Laura, I think she was still a baby. I don't even know if she was a year old, maybe a year. And I will never forget. So my mom said, look after your sister. I'm going to go take a shower.
Oh, no.
I was like,
why well, you never tell a kid no. that?
I picked her up.
No.
And I went to give her like a body slam.
At 1 year old?
Yeah, a baby. And I threw her, and her body went up in the air,
oh, no.
right?
Oh, no.
And she was perpendicular, like straight up and down, right? But her head was tilted back as she was going back down on the bed. I know. Just thinking about it right now, I'm cringing. I could, but then the way she landed right on her back.
Okay.
But in that moment, like, time completely froze, and I was like,
you almost pezzed her.
Completely. Yeah.
Bent her head all the way back.
Bro, like, she could have been paralyzed. She broke her neck. She could have died.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I was like, I gave her like the biggest hug, and I was like apologizing. I felt so bad.
Did you tell your mom what happened?
I think maybe she knows.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, when they got older and I knew that I couldn't break their neck with like new moves and stuff. But,
I just got sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
That is like.
Whoa. Okay, we'll move on here. Dallas Singh says here, what does the word home mean to you?
Home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like where you live?
Mm-hmm. Or just in general, what does home mean to you?
It's a touching question.
Like for me, I say like my wife and my son.
I getcha.
Right? Like that, for me, that's home.
Yeah,
I guess the dogs too, but.
Yeah. That's home. Yeah, I... Yeah, like for me, home is, it's just where, I don't know, like I feel that I breathe differently at home than I do when I'm anywhere else in the world.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I am never.
There's no stress, it's calm.
Yeah, I breathe differently when I'm at home. There's an energy that the girls give off in the house that is just not there when they're not around.
Right.
And I notice it so much when they're not around that the house just feels different, and I don't enjoy my time there as much as I do when they're around. And so it's that energy that that allows me to sort of like dial back and calm
Yo,
down.
Yo, what were you doing during the time when they went to California for like a week?
Same thing.
When they went
I do nothing.
Trip.
I do.
You just sat there and did nothing.
I sat there and
all
I
day,
do
all night.
Nothing.
There's one time they went away and Roz counted the bricks.
Yeah, I do
what?
Nothing.
You counted the bricks.
I have a brick wall in my living room that I just stare at. Yeah, and I do nothing. I mean, I had a lot of book stuff that I was working on this time around, but then even still, I would just like lose time. I would lose like I would get home, and there was one night here where I got home and I'm like, okay, I got home from the TV show from ET Canada, and it was about 5:30. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to do a little bit of book stuff. Then I might order Uber Eats, treat myself, and then, you know, and then maybe put a show on and go to bed. And I sat on the couch and I was doing book stuff. And then at some point I stopped doing book stuff and I don't know what I did. I was just like, I didn't really fall asleep, but I just sort of lost time. And the next thing I know is 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
12:30 and I had done literally nothing except for sit in the exact same spot on the couch. And I was, I just lost time. It was just gone.
Really?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, the cat was yelling at me because there's no cat food and all this stuff, right? And then my phone was full. Catherine had written me like a whole bunch of times being like, good night, love you, all this stuff. I ignored all of them.
Oh,
it was
great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't like it, right? Like I just time.
Just completely zoned out.
Yeah. I really do. So that to me, I don't know if I answered your question, but home is much like Mocha is. That's where the, you know, that's home. There is no home without my girls.
Dan Mori.
I was just going to say, like, simple words. Like, home to me means safe or private.
Yeah, no, I get you on that. I get you on that. But private. That's a weird thing to be number two. not love.
No.
Right? Not
private. Yeah, in all caps.
Private.
How about you, Chef?
I'm going to go ahead and say New York. Most of my family live in New York, and I'm used to having, like, 30, 40 family members around, it being very loud, people aged from, like, you know, babies to, like, my grandmother. Like, that to me really represents home. That sort of loud, noisy atmosphere, that's home for sure.
Okay. That's a great answer.
Adil says here, this is a question for you, Roz.
Yeah.
Does Roz plan on doing a meet and greet or any book signings?
Yeah.
By the way, the Roz Weston memoir is coming out on September 27th. A Little Bit Broken is the title. You can pre-order at rozweston.com.
Thank you.
Like Indigo does In Conversations With. I see you doing an In Conversation With.
Yeah, it depends. To be honest with you, a lot of this stuff is, I mean, yes, it's up to whatever I'm comfortable doing, but a lot of this stuff is just conversations that the initial conversations kind of happen without me, right? Where they sort of get a whole bunch of stuff together. I imagine it would be foolish to not do some sort of signing somewhere.
Sure.
Right? Whether, hopefully it's at an Indigo. So yes, I will say definitely there will be something right now, whether there's going to be like a big party and stuff like this, like all that stuff, I don't know, but we will definitely do something where I will, you know, get to sign books and meet people and all of this stuff for sure. Because that's just what you do, right? Like that's part of it. Like why write a book unless you do a book signing,
right? Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to go and stand at a tiny little podium at some independent bookstore and start reading chapters and weeping in front of strangers. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Right?
No,
though.
Shut up. I don't know if I'm going
to. Can you have somebody pretend to be you and read it?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Maybe, a little Maury gunning for the job.
Yeah, maybe I'll
put on
send,
a fake beard.
Yeah, maybe I'll send Maury to do that. But no, we will be doing something for sure.
I hope that
sure.
your book ends up on Heather's pick list. Yeah. That's my goal.
Like, Heather Reisman?
Yeah, because there's a table at the front where there's the sticker on the books. It's Heather's pick.
Oh,
it'd be so cool if
really?
Your book makes Heather's pick.
See, I got to know how you do that, though.
Well, I could take the stickers off someone else's book and put them on yours.
No. Please don't do that. Please. You know, a lot of times that stuff like that is actually printed on the cover.
Oh!
Because they know, people will know ahead of time, right? So a lot of those like bestseller stickers and stuff like that, they get printed on the cover. Like it's not even a sticker.
There you go.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm learning so much in this world. Jeez. But I guess, have you ever been to a book signing, Maury?
Oh, plenty.
What are
many.
They like? What's that like? Do they just like, sit at a table?
Well, first of all, there's usually like a stage or whatever, and there's like an chairs, like audience in front.
What?
First, because then they'll sort of do a mix of a small In Conversation With, then you move to the table and people, you know, sort of single file in front of you to get you to sign the book. But it's a whole thing where there's a DJ at Indigo, like
what?
A DJ playing, then they introduce you. Jeremy, who runs all the event stuff, will introduce you and everyone's clapping and then you come out. There's photographer. It's an event.
Oh, look at that.
See, I thought, here's what I thought. I thought, okay, everybody form a line outside and then I get in and I sit at like a desk.
Yeah.
Right. And, or like up at the counter where like, where they buy.
Will you pay?
Yeah. Right.
Like you're an employee.
Yeah. And then you pay, it goes, you put it on the counter, you pay, then they slide it over to me. I sign it. And then I slide it to somebody who puts it in a bag for you.
And the table, the desk that you sit at the Indigo in Toronto.
Yeah.
The desk you sit at the one in Toronto is signed by everyone else who has done a book signing.
Oh,
so you will sign
goodness.
The official desk.
Wow. Jeez.
Look at you.
This is a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
You don't want to sign the desk next to, you know, Nigella Lawson?
Yeah. Listen, I love Nigella. But if something will happen. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of that stuff isn't up to me what they gotcha. Sort of where they want me to do stuff and how they want me to do stuff. But I will definitely get a chance to meet fans, and then hopefully all you guys are able to show up and hang out. And
oh, hell yeah. Cannot wait.
Get drunk.
Again, go pre-order that book at rosweston.com. Thank you for all of your questions this week. Keep them coming in every week as we post on Instagram at Kiss925 the Ask Roz and Mocha picture. This is where we get your questions from, and we'll invite two of you to join us on future episodes of our podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss925.
Kiss925.com
or download the Kiss925 app.